And now, here's your host, Alessandra Torrisani.
Ashley Sumner, welcome to Emotional Support. I am so excited to be having this conversation with you. I feel so honored to be in your presence because I actually just put the pieces together. I was on your app Quilt for a really long time, and I had no idea that your new company, when they had sent me your information, was the same thing. And I was looking up your new company. I'm like, wait a second. Like, why does it keep going back to this company called Quilt? I remember this. I remember during COVID. I remember like being in rooms and like, anyway, so we will get all into that because people are probably like, what are you talking about rooms? Like, it's so confusing. So I'm so excited because you're someone that I have been wanting to talk to without even realizing it was you. So this is going to be such a fun conversation. So Ashley, welcome. I think what I want to know is, how did you start in this wellness, I would say world. I wouldn't even say community because it's a whole world now. And I want other people to hear your story of how you got involved in wellness, because maybe this is something that they're wanting to do and they're wanting to explore and get out of kind of the in quote unquote norm of, you know, a 9-to-5 of a normal company. And they want to break out and do something better for themselves, for others, for the world. How does you even start?
By the way, thank you for that introduction. Sure. I'm so excited to hear you quilted. I was like, her name looks familiar. And we'll get there into that. I mean, you know, this may sound really cliche, but wellness found me.
Wow.
I'll say I just listened to it.
Sure.
Like repetitively. It was one of those things. I didn't pay attention to it the first time it found me, which was when I was around 14 or 15.
Sure.
A very strong call to, like, I asked my mom to go to therapy. Like, I wanted to process my feelings. Like, I took up a journaling practice. Like, there was just these big moments of it being something that's super important to me. But I was a performer. I went to NYU for musical theater. Like, I had a very clear track that I was very specifically on. You know, like some of the interviews that I've had, or you'll hear that I was a matchmaker, a romantic matchmaker, which was super random. As background was like super, I had a lot of random jobs.
Sure.
I'll say that.
Sure.
Like
you
when you're a performer trying to get paid.
Yeah. Trust me. I've been there. I'm an actress. I get it. It's like, you do what you gotta do. And I feel like as a performer, a matchmaker would be a really good job. Like, you know how to read body language, you know how to see like who would work well and what meshes like as a character. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll also see a lot of performers get into service-based industries, become coaches, become healers, become teacher yogis. Like, there's just a natural, I think, empathetic inclination towards the human experience that if you are a performer, it can translate in a lot of different ways. You can also be an amazing storyteller have a successful podcast or raise capital. You know, there's a lot of ways that this translates. You know, I will say, like, I my whole life have had job uncertainty. And I never really had that very stable professional experience to be afraid of leaving.
Right.
And I know job uncertainty is at an extreme high right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like the number of layoffs where all of a sudden corporate doesn't feel stable. So I will say, I think this is a very silver lining, good moment, good time. If you wanted to go get into wellness, like to do it now.
Right.
So I ended up evolving from being in the matchmaking world to figuring out what's the best way I can apply these skills, spending time with people, making connections for them, designing experiences for them. And so I ended up getting into community, like membership community programming as like a next step for a career.
Sure.
And when I got into that, all of a sudden, wellness for me came in very powerfully, and I started to work for a wellness brand. So I found a brand that I respect and was like, I want to bring this skill to your brand, and got hired for it.
Wow.
And that was the last company I'm in 2 days. I have a 7 year anniversary for, running my own business.
Wow.
So I launched Quilts seven years ago.
Wow.
And now I have Liminal.
Wow.
So the last person I worked for was this company, this, wellness brand. And it was a step in. It was, yeah. You know, I was there for less than a year, but it's just like, take your first little step towards something that feels good. And then I think it opens up quite a bit from there.
Oh, I love that. And you know, it's so interesting. I had this other amazing guest on, and she started a company called Abbott's Butcher. And it's this amazing company where she came on and she started talking about how she was going through so many physical struggles, right? And that she wanted to make sure she was getting food that had no preservatives, that was easy for those, wasn't expensive. Anyways, and the first way that she made that step in, because that was one of my questions, was she literally cooked a meal for a store and went in there and was like, this is what I make. And it was such a awesome, like ballsy move. Like I loved it so much. I was like, yes, you know, because it is. And it's like you coming in with an idea for this wellness company. It's like taking that step, taking that initiative. And it's scary to take those leaps. It is terrifying, but it's like, you gotta do it. And you're right. It's the first step is always going to be the hardest. And then like you go from there, but like you just do it. Just take that step, yeah. Take that jump, you know? Wow, that's so fantastic. When I, for my own personal, I guess my own personal feeling, like, what was it for you when you were doing musical theater and you were doing all this? What was it for you where you were like, you know what, this isn't for me anymore? Like, since that was your trajectory, like your whole life, and you thought that was it, like, was there a moment where you were like, why am I doing this anymore? Like, why am I auditioning and like nothing's happening? Like, what was it for you?
Yeah. It was two parts. It was being shocked that I was so inspired and so lit up by matchmaking, which was the thing I was just trying to do to like pay my bills while simultaneously auditioning. So I was like, wow, like I love this startup culture of like just hacking it and figuring it out and putting myself out there. Also, I'll admit I was in my early 20s and rejection was just really hard.
Yeah.
The self-love was not there.
Yeah.
You know, I got so close. It was down to like me and one other person like 100 times. Yeah. And I started wondering like, is this really a world where if I really dedicate and put in that I'm going to get out like what I put in?
Sure.
And I didn't know. I felt like I didn't have the power and the freedom to create something that was going to have an impact in the way that I could see over the next 10 years.
Sure.
Whereas like if I get a group of people together on a community level and I create an experience, I get to see the impact of that in the moment.
In the moment, exactly, right then and there. And that's such, I feel like, I say this because I'm an actress and it's something that I've been doing my whole life. And for me, I feel like rejection has just become part of my everyday because I've been doing it since I was a kid and like, I don't know any different. But at the same time, I am so, like you, I'm so inspired by, for me, like the mental health world, you know, the wellness, the self-care, community and world and the people that are involved. And I love startup culture. My parents were both in technology. So for me, like that, you know, is so exciting as well, like to be in that kind of business sense of it all, like not the corporate, but like the really cool, like we're going to do this, like we've created something. So that's really fun. And I feel like, so I'm in this like world where I'm like, oh, I don't know, like, what should I do? You know, because I can't imagine doing anything else but act, you know. You can do both.
Well, and you get to be a part, but you are bringing them together, right? Like the most interesting things are when we have such fascinations and over time, like something, a new category gets created or a new solution gets created. And that's part of the unique genius of like the things you're a part of and you're touching and the people you're talking to and experiences you have transform something that'll come from you that could come from no one else.
Right.
And I love that.
I know, I do too. I mean, it's fun and it's fun. And I think what's been really special about having a podcast where I've been talking about mental health and mental wellness is meeting so many incredible people like you, where I don't know how we would meet in the real world other than maybe, you know, at like founders thing or, you know, I don't know, maybe through my husband or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's so fun to be able to have these kinds of conversations. Now, getting to why you do not like the female founder and why that went viral. Let's talk about that because I think it's fucking awesome. So can you explain to everyone how you went viral for saying that I am a female founder and you crossed out the female and you posted it on LinkedIn? Talk about what that was like.
Interesting. So this was 2021, which is funny because if I go into my LinkedIn analytics, still every week, my top performing post is this one.
No.
Like it's just still going. Wow. You know, I will say that this was one of those things that was just such a strongly felt thing that if I had given myself any time to think twice about it, and it wouldn't have come out. Like it wouldn't have been produced. It was March 2021. It was International Women's Day on the 8th. And, you know, this is a time as a quote unquote female founder, especially if you're venture backed, right? There's a very small percent, you know, of us.
Yep.
And you get very a lot of attention small. On this one, on this one day.
Yeah.
You know, there's 2% for white women, right? Yeah. 0.2% not. So I was like, okay, you know, I've been at this for a while now. Like I launched my company during the Me Too movement, you know, Quilt was designed more specifically for the feminine experience. Mm-hmm. Like what's changed over the years? Like it's now 2021 and all these things have come out to try to create equality in the space. All of these announcements of, you know, you have to give this much capital to women and there now has to be conferences and there has to be a female panel and all of the structure. And I'm like, but the numbers haven't changed. So I was asking myself the question, is this helping us? Mm. Is putting female in front of founder helping us or hurting us? And so I posted a picture of myself that this is a picture that was in a TechCrunch article around raising $3.5 million for Quilt. And I just wrote at the top, I am a female founder. I crossed out female. I put it on LinkedIn. I'd never posted on LinkedIn before, previously.
So the algorithm just like popped you to the top.
Yeah. They're like, this is a bold first step.
Yeah.
And you know, all of a sudden I don't know much about impressions and like, I don't have at the time that much of a social presence. I asked someone on my team a couple of days later, I'm like, is it? Like, is 20 million impressions, like, is that a lot for LinkedIn?
And oh, she was like, my God.
What? Because I didn't even have, like, my DM set up. Like, I had nothing set up. It created a conversation, which is what I wanted. You know, it brought up a lot for people. Both there was, like, pro it, not pro it, you know, shocked by it. I was like, listen, let's ask the question of, is this helping us or is this hurting us? Because, you know, I don't, you know, outside of a male nurse or a male model, like I don't see male getting dropped in front of founder.
No.
You know, and when I'm getting asked to be on a panel, I don't want to be on the female founder panel. I want to be an equal on the panel, on any panel.
Yeah. Period.
Period. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when you force, you know, create a forced PR movement that, you know, moves the hand of the person with the capital and says, now you have to give it to women. Like they start to resent it.
Sure.
You know, there's just, anyway, so it grew, New York Times picked it up.
Wow.
20,000 other women took their photo, wrote, I'm a female blank, crossed it out.
Like wow.
It took off.
Wow. And did you feel like kind of a pressure almost that you were like, oh, I was not expecting this. Like, obviously you weren't expecting how big it blew up. But I mean, in the sense of like, you felt overwhelmed by it. Like, I don't know what to do. Or you were like, fuck yes, this is awesome.
I felt a lot of things, you know, I felt emotions, you know, for the people who didn't really understand the intent behind it, who maybe had like their own emotional reaction. I felt like, oh, I want to be understood. You know, you're misinterpreting me. And that's not how I meant it. Like, then I was like, I love starting a conversation. Yeah. I love asking that one big question that just gets everyone to talk.
Sure.
And I like the idea of a movement. I loved the number of women who were like, thank you for finally saying the thing. You know, since then, a lot of people have said it. So I was like, ooh, I'm kind of proud that it seems like I'm the first person who said this thing, which is pretty hard because everyone says a lot all the time now, everywhere. Yeah.
And did a lot of the investors come to you and say, this is not kind of the attention we wanted? Did you ever have any backlash like that where you were like, oh my God, I did not intend for it to go this far in that direction?
No, they're very supportive. It's important for me to name this because I don't think this is like in the PR world as much. I have amazing investors. They're supportive. They're aligned. They're authentic. I get along with them. I go on vacation. Like I would happily get stuck on an 18-hour plane ride next to any one of them and catch up and create. You know, I'm very fortunate.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God, I love that so much. Spring has arrived at Dabble and Dollop, and their shop is full of spring and Easter goodies. Great to give as gifts and decorate your Easter baskets with. Dabble and Dollop is offering Easter egg droplets, aka Dabble and Dollop's version of a bath bomb for kiddos. These coconut, honeydew, and lemon-flavored bath bombs provide a fun and delicious treat for bath time. Easter egg bottle toppers for your shampoos and conditioners, which can lead to some fun and imaginative bath time story or playtime. Their Easter bundles, great for ready-made Easter gifts, especially great for little ones who just want something bright and fun as a spring treat. Ladies' favorite so far has been the coconut and honeydew combination. We kind of treat it like a science experiment, and we have been having so much fun during bath time. For all seasons, Dabble and Dollop has everything from bath time shampoos, bubble baths, body washes, conditioner, lotions, and bath bombs to bath toys and accessories to sets that let you try out your favorite products. Visit dabblebath.com/emotional today to get 20% off your first order with us. That's dabblebath.com/emotional and get 20% off for being a listener of Emotional Support. Now, Quilt, how did Quilt come to you? How did this great idea, because at the time, just so you know how I was introduced to Quilt was, you know, COVID had happened, everything shut down. There was an app called Clubhouse and everyone was on Clubhouse and it was how would you describe it? Like an audio app?
Social audio. It was a social audio space. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So I started the Emotional Support Club on there just because I was like, what else am I supposed to do? My podcast studio that I was working with, like they never provided me with any equipment. Like I fell apart. What am I doing? Like what now? There was no acting. I was having like a total meltdown, right? Yeah. You know, of like, what am I going to do? Yeah. So I thought, okay, well, this is a great opportunity to not only still connect with people, but maybe create a new audience. So I started this Emotional Support Club. We talked about we had the How Are You Really room. We had the I Love You room. We did all these like really great positive things. But what I noticed was, I mean, I had a lot of people. I think it ended up being like 15,000 or 20,000 people that joined these rooms, I say. But what was interesting was I found, just like in the real world, the popular clubs, right, we'll say, were the ones that were talking shit about, you know, reality TV, the ones that were either super right wing or super left wing, and then they would have arguments and debates, or the comedy ones. And the mental health ones were so important, but there was a lack of them. And so one of the girls, and I'm blanking who it was, but some girl who was on this group with me said, hey, you should check out this app called Quilt. Quilt is more of the wellness mental health space. And I believe, was it Rumor Willis that had a room? It was Rumor, right? So I don't know Rumor, but through mutual friends. And so someone
Tallulah, and then brought Rumor in, like her sister.
So maybe it was Tallulah. Okay. So one of the Willis sisters had a room or something, and I went to listen to it, and it was like so lovely. And it was really great. And so I started to go on Quilt more often, but I found I had created such a base and such a network, if you will, in one place that I was like, I don't know how I can recreate this, but I was like, how can I merge this together? Or how, why didn't I see Quilt for, you know, it was one of those things. And so then Clubhouse kind of disappeared. I don't know whatever happened to it. I think it's still around, but I was not on it. And it kind of came that way because I decided to have a baby. And so I was trying to have a baby and I was like focused on that. And then everything kind of like, I dropped off from there. And I felt so terrible now years later being like, oh my God, I feel like I left this, my, this little like baby that I created. But Quilt was so special to me because it truly felt like, while no place is safe, I will say it felt like a trusted environment with good people who were there for the right reasons, that were trying to do better for the world. I'm sure that's what you wanted it to be as well. So whatever ended up happening with Quilt, what was kind of the roller coaster for Quilt? Because it started way before COVID. I had no idea that it was around longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
That's my long-winded startup to Quilt.
No, it was so... I love hearing. It's like, how do we come to each other?
Yeah.
Like, I just love trusting in the synchronistic laws of the universe.
Yeah.
And now we're here again.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that I worked for some social clubs and a wellness center and like these bigger real estate kind of community centers.
Sure.
And while I was at them, I really, as like the community builder in these spaces, I really felt restricted by like the impact and the reach that I could have.
Right.
And I started thinking about how technology could help, but I also was thinking about how limiting just having one physical space for somebody to show up to is.
Right.
You know, and thinking all the people that don't have access to that, whether they can't afford it or they wouldn't get in or they physically can't drive to it.
Mm-hmm.
So Quilt before the pandemic was a platform that inspired particularly women to open up their homes to host small group conversations.
Wow. Oh, I did not know that.
Out of the home.
How fascinating.
Yeah, it was a membership and we just went neighborhood by neighborhood throughout California. We started growing through New York. We raised funding. Like, it was really this thing that was taking off.
Almost like a Tupperware party, like from the like 60s. That's so cute.
Correct. It was so cute. And, you know, it was really like leaning more professional, but the women were coming together and having these deep conversations. It was like a therapy coach replacement for groups out of homes.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened. I mean, strangers stopped gathering in homes within 24 hours. It was really an insane thing because we were taking off.
Yeah.
And so I was like, whoa, what do we do?
Right, right.
And so we quickly did Zooms.
Okay.
So we did about, I think, 3,000 Zoom calls.
Wow.
So I got to experience like in the height. I mean, this was like February, March 2020.
Sure.
We did a lot of Zooms. They were incredibly impactful, but video was having a negative impact on the depth of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, you know, fidgeting, didn't want their camera on, but then people's feelings were offended and just like, it felt two dimensional.
Yeah, it does.
And
yeah.
So that was when I was like, well, what about audio?
Mm.
And it was around the same time Clubhouse was coming out.
Wow.
And I was like, I wonder if that format would work. I mean, we had some different constraints.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
You know, for room size and things like that. And so honestly, just like built that in like a couple of weeks.
Wow.
I mean, it was a very fast turnaround. And then you saw, I mean, the intent of it was wellness, personal growth, spirituality, you know, career, but more in the purpose space, accountability. And yeah, it really took on a complete life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
A different type of person that was gathering. And then I made the decision to ultimately shut that down exactly a year ago.
Wow. And were you still a year ago having people hold space and have rooms and have conversations?
Yeah.
And did you find that
it lived on after?
Wow. And did you have less people joining? Because I feel like that was the thing with Clubhouse, was the reason why I also kind of stopped was the world opened back up. And I missed being outside, and I missed real, you know, human to human connection. And I felt like there was something about the audio apps that were so amazing to me, because it felt like a place, like I said, like a trusted space where you could be your true authentic self, and you could put even a fake photo up if you wanted. And no one really knew that maybe you were, there were many times where I'd be in a room and I'd be crying, but I'd be on mute. And then I'd like unmute it and be okay, because I was so moved by so many people's stories. Like, it felt like you could be this other person whilst being the most true authentic version of yourself at the same time. It was like, it was bizarre. It was powerful. It was crazy. Like, how powerful that was. And to this day, the voice of my intro song, I met on Clubhouse, another one of my friends, that I did a Howard Stern parody show with, you know, I still am like super close with, and he's like touring the world. Like, I met a lot of awesome people, I feel like, through these audio apps, because there was a connection there where you could be yourself that you would feel uncomfortable talking about with friends. So, wow. I mean, what a tough decision for you to, you know, close it, but how exciting, because now you have this new thing that I want to talk about. Please, let's talk about what Quilt has turned into now.
This has been such a journey, and like reconnecting, and to like me as a creative.
Because
I remember the moment, like the download that I had to create Quilt. I wasn't planned. It just like came to me. And so when it came to me, then I just was like off to the races. All of a sudden, it didn't matter. I was getting rejected by like every investor I spoke to, because I was so clear this thing needs to exist.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's why it's like, I think we all get these hits of clarity. And the moment we do, we should go for it. Like, just really quickly go for it.
And no matter the rejection, you just keep on going. Like, you just keep doing it.
And I didn't have that as a performer, because it was a role that somebody else created. It wasn't this like, oh, this is the thing I'm going to create.
Wasn't your baby.
Wasn't my baby. And so I spent a lot of this year trying to search for the inspiration. Which didn't work for like the first half of this year. You know, it was just like, do I still want to be in this space? And like, do I have the energy for this? And I have this team that I love. It took forever to find, like, what are we doing together? And then a couple of things happened. I got this, there's an article in Fortune that interviewed me, and I made one comment. Of course, it ended up being the title of the comment, the title of the whole piece, which was like, this CEO credits her success, like, to her coach and her healers.
Wow.
And I did make that comment. Like, I have really invested, whether I had a tiny, tiny salary or a bigger salary, like, I've always invested my money in my personal development.
Great.
And my, I was like, okay, fine. And then over the course of a few weeks, I had all these people reaching out to me asking for introductions to coaches.
Wow.
They were like, you know, I think I need a coach. Like, I've been in therapy. I've unpacked my past like enough. I'm good on that.
Now what?
But like, I need a go forward plan. Like, I need somebody to hold me accountable. I need a roadmap. And like, you're the first person I thought of to make an intro. And I kept like inbound multiple. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. I'll think about that. And so I went into kind of a meditation and started really thinking about the state of the world and the state of uncertainty, and like, what do people, like, what do we really need? Like, what actually makes us feel better? And I feel like if we are connected to our purpose, we have clarity on like how we want to spend our time in the most fulfilling way. We have a plan to do that, and we feel like we're making meaningful progress. Doesn't really matter what's going on outside of us, because it's like, I'm focused.
Right.
And that's how I live, right? Is like, I know my purpose. I know who I want to help. Here's an idea to help them. Like, and am I taking progress steps towards that? So Liminal kind of became my company now, Liminal, which is really about being in an uncertain territory, the threshold, the beginning of a new chapter, a very unknown space, and saying like, how do I want to move forward? Like, what do I want my life to look like? Like, where do I want to go? When I wake up 1 year from now, am I going to look back and be like, I feel great about that? Right. Like, is this fulfilling?
Right.
And so with my team, we were like, okay, we want to basically create a matchmaker and accelerator program for personal and professional development.
I love that.
And that looks like designing a new specialty that blends mindset coaching with accountability and productivity tools. Mm. So we still have this human element where we are the matchmaker, a concierge to meeting someone, learning exactly where they are, what's holding them back, and we personally match them to a coach. Mm. And then they get a plan. They do these 30-minute quick clarity calls, and then they have this whole in an app, this whole productivity tracker with the coach on how to achieve that.
Wow.
And it just kind of rinses. It's like goes every week and every month and like every couple of months. And you just start kind of chipping away at getting towards that thing that you want.
The goal. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a little bit of.
That's so amazing. And then how do you find these coaches?
So that's been another thing is like we all don't know just what like exactly what our specialties are.
Right.
And I've basically spent the past 15 years like working with or vetting coaches.
Right.
Mm. So we started with a core group of like highly trained, certified, like 5 to 25 year experience mindset coaches. They come in, there's different, some more spiritual, you know, some have been in the corporate space, some like they use different frameworks, but it was through our network.
Wow. Wow.
And now we have a wait list of hundreds of coaches who want to be vetted. We really like, we will continue to expand and grow, but we have this program of like how to vet them through.
Sure. Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Now, if someone say, you know, I don't know what the price is, like the price point to like join this or be part of this, but if someone like, let's say has absolutely nothing right now and they're struggling so hard, but they want to take that first step, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, right? What would something like the best form of investment for their future be like at a very low point, let's say?
Yeah. I mean, so to me, it depends on what the low point is. Full transparency, I understand typical coaches will usually charge anywhere from like $1,000 to $5,000 a month.
Right.
Like it's a very high price item,
sure.
You know, which is why I think a lot of people believe that the people that deserve a coach are more like leaders.
Right.
You know, like, oh, like you want to get to that next level. And I'm like, everybody deserves to have a coach.
Yeah.
Our pricing is just, if this is the area somebody wants to start in, our pricing is $290 a month.
Mm. So reasonable.
Which is for sure. So reasonable for a whole month. And you have daily interaction, by the way, like with this person, because it's really about integrating to make changes versus like one call and then it's all left to you.
Sure.
So, but we offer the concierge aspect, the match, the first 30-minute phone call, and the first 7 days are all free.
Wow.
For us. And because if anybody here is listening and wants to join, we're going to give you $100 off code. So their first month would be $190.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Which is kind of insane.
That's
it's kind
insane.
Of an, it's an insane price point.
Yeah.
It's an insane price point.
Yeah. No,
yeah. I think so
yeah,
too.
Yeah. No, that's so insane because let me tell you, I when I was pregnant, I was going through a really hard time because I live with bipolar disorder and I was off my medication. And I don't know if it was bipolar disorder or if it was hormones or what the hell it was, but it was a really tough time. And I had to have a special couples therapist that could relate to what I was feeling and related to my husband and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a price point. I think we were talking $350 an hour. I mean, every 30 minutes, for 30 minutes. And we were doing this once, if not twice a week. And it got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I don't understand how people can do this. Like, I know that is important, but I need to find someone or something that can be cheaper because it was so much.
So much.
I understand
thousands.
therapy. I understand. And the thing is I'm a firm believer in therapy, but I'm also a firm believer in a coach. Like I have a coach for acting. Like that's what you do. Like you have a coach, right?
Yeah.
Coach helps you get to the next step. Like they just do.
Yeah.
I think that this is so great for someone if you can save up and you can even just do it for a month, see if there's any change there, you know, like really truly see if there's if there is a change. It's so cool. What has been some of your favorite like things that you've discovered in the wellness community? Something that's kept you like, I'm a firm believer in meditation. I do transcendental meditation. Like I what is something that has really changed you in for the better?
Gosh, I love, like, I could be on this topic for like an hour. I say this with a caveat of I spent 20 years in, you know, in therapy, you know, in yoga, in meditation, in a lot of different tools. But recently, over the past year and a half, I've gotten into a steady, like, ceremonial relationship working with ayahuasca and with psychedelic, like this in the psychedelic space. Yeah. Yeah. And it's been a very profound kind of like, because I have my practice, because I have the mindfulness, I have such a strong relationship with myself going in deep now, even on like my own solo journeys.
Yeah.
I'm just like navigating and it's really fun and I'm learning a lot and I'm getting much closer and like just playing with my, like just having fun with like my, like where my inner child meets my higher self.
Sure.
You asked me to pick one.
Was it scary the first time you went on an ayahuasca journey? Like that would be for me. I would be like, oh my God, like what if I have a bad trip or like what if something happens?
Yeah, it was. You know, as a kid, not kid, but as like a, as young a young adult, whenever I would do recreational drugs, I would have pretty dark experiences. Uh-huh. So I was the reason I stayed away from ayahuasca this long is because I expected it to go horribly. Like I thought they were going to tell me something really dark about myself and that I wasn't ready. And that like, I just was like, no, I have to stay away from the thing. I don't even care about the throwing up. I'm just like, I'm staying away from the darkness.
Yeah.
And then it was funny. My first ceremony I ever did, I did it for a whole weekend. So it was like multiple nights in a row. And I really learned something about myself because I every night went in expecting to meet my darkness, to find out like what was wrong with me. And every night she was like, you know, the medicine was like, you're good.
Oh my
Like you've worked so hard on yourself. Like go play. Stop coming to me for, you know, this big dirty secret. You don't have one. Like
go have fun.
Good for you. Yeah. Like, and, you know, even it doesn't, you know, I've done a lot of deep shadow work, shadow integration work, kind of on the Jungian analysis scale. And I continue to have a lot of work to do in that space, as I think we all do to integrate. But now I do a monthly mushroom ceremony. And it's the same thing that's coming through. Like, I'm just having fun. Like last weekend, I did one. And I was an oracle, like a tarot oracle, like in the journey. And I got to go in and ask any question. And I was like, well, but like, what about this? And it was like, and it showed me the answer. And I was like, what
about this? Oh my gosh. You are making this like seem like the coolest thing ever. And I'm very like, wow. Like,
that's what I'm saying. There are caveats to all of this.
Sure. But like, that's so awesome. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's so exciting. What is something that you do that maybe not be as far as the ayahuasca journey, like something that's like a daily practice that you swear by that other people, you know, might find inspiring?
Yeah. I'll give three quick, easy ones.
Yeah.
One is I do pull a tarot card every morning.
Great. Love
not
that.
Because I believe it to be as gospel, but I have one question. I pull one card, I look at it and it helps me expand all the perspectives I could have on that situation.
Oh,
I use
that.
It as a as a prompting tool. Number two is I started doing a daily trance hypnosis meditation.
Cool.
So I've also done mantra meditation for a long time, and I've recently gotten into Paul McKenna's trance hypnosis meditations. There's one on confidence, on power, on happiness, on weight, on all these things. And it's awesome. Super interactive. It's kind of takes the binaural beat, one ear, and has you do this countdown and like these visualization exercises.
Wow.
So I do, it's 20 minutes every day. They're free on YouTube.
Sick. I want to try that. Really, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of leveled up my mindset patterns, my affirmations and my mindset patterns. And then I'm a bather. I take a lot of baths.
I'm a bather. I swear by being a bather. Literally, it got me through pregnancy. I wanted to have a water birth. That's how much I was like, how much I'm a bather. It did not happen and I didn't even try it to happen, but it was something that I wanted. But it's so fun because my daughter is like a super bather and she like lives in the bath and like loves it. And I'm like, awesome. So we like take baths all the time. It's just so fun. It's the best. It's something as simple as that. I mean, can really truly reset your mind, like get you going again, and just like taking that 20 minutes. That's why I'm a firm believer in meditation as well, because while it's very hard for me to meditate now because I have a baby on my boob, like it's something that really does truly transform and transcend you into a different mindset. Well, this has been like such a fun interview. I've just been having so much fun with you, and I feel like I could talk for absolute hours about all of this stuff. And I feel like you and my husband would be best friends of getting along, because everything thing that you've been talking about from the wellness side is like something that he does. Like, that's how I find so many things, because he is such a seeker of finding the next, like, not even like the next cool thing, but the next thing that could maybe, you know, help with his well-being and with himself, you know? And he's always like the tester of things to then like come to me, you know what I mean? Like, this is perfect. What works, you know, it is hard. And I think when you live with mental illness, or whether you don't live with mental illness, you have to find stability in something, and you have to find structure. And like, I thrive on structure, and I even notice my daughter thrives on structure, you know, and it's wild.
I think we all do. There's a lot of freedom in structure.
There's a lot of freedom in structure, but there's something about like being able to, I don't know. I love it. I love it. Well, Ashley, I'm going to ask you my final question. I ask everyone, what is your emotional support?
You know, it's interesting. The first thing that, just came through, I'm usually like really deep and really like, the first thing that just came through is this really bright colored tie-dye sweatsuit I just purchased that I've been like living in.
Amazing. Amazing. Hey, that could be your emotional support. You could feel cozy and comfy in that, and you can feel like the best version of you in it. So that works too.
Yeah, it's a really, God, I have so many things. I need a lot. I need a lot of emotional support. So I think I went to the light, funny thing because I was like, whoa, all the friends and all the people and all the tools and all the, like, I've set my entire life up to be an environment of emotional support.
Oh, I love that though.
Like, I'm a Cancer. Like, I need it, you know? So
emotional. What's your birthday?
July 1st.
Oh, I love that. Oh, we didn't know if my daughter was going to be the end of June Gemini or a Cancer, but I was like, either one works. She ended up being a Gemini, like me, but my grandmother was a Cancer. And I think Cancer women are just, they're so phenomenal. They're just so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so in touch. My moon's in Cancer. So I really have a very like
soft spot. You are a Cancer.
Yeah.
My moon's Aquarius. So I've got a lot of Gemini and Aquarius. A lot. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Cool.
Oh, but yeah, I think it's so important for us all to have so much emotional support, whether it's family or friends or just creating activities and things to do that provide that for us. So, or a jumpsuit, you know, or a tie-dye jumpsuit, like whatever floats your boat, you know.
I wanted to make it simple. I launched that sweatshirt through Quilt called the Emotional Support Sweatshirt. And it said emotional support right here. Yeah.
What? Oh my God,
And
that's
it
so
like and like
cute.
thousands went out. Yeah, so that's I think what made me think of it.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. Do you still have those sweatshirts?
I know I was gonna say if I find a vintage
If
one,
I'm
like give me your mailing
Yeah,
address, I will send it to you. It is like
awesome.
all yours.
Amazing. And Ashley, how can everyone find you and find Liminal?
So Liminal, go to stayliminal.com.
Okay.
If you put in your email and drop her name in, and the podcast name, we will give you that discount.
Cool.
And I'm Ashley J. Sumner, like across all socials. So come find me and talk to me.
Oh, I love that. And this has been such a blast.